Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ right here in Omaha, Nebraska. Great to be back with all of our listeners again today. So thankful to be here with you and that you're there and you want to be in God's Word and want to learn more from His teachings and truths communicated to us, written down for us right there in Scripture. It's important that we be in God's Word. We keep emphasizing faith comes by hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. So if a person wants to have faith, they need to be in God's Word in some shape, form, or fashion, and to some extent. And not just maybe opening up the Bible and reading a couple of verses of Scripture once or twice a year. We're talking about being students of God's Word. We're not talking about memorizing every single verse, but we're talking about having a good working knowledge and accurate understanding of what the Bible is teaching. That's how faith develops within an individual. How we come to believe more concretely, more assuredly in God and in Christ and in Christianity. We encourage you to tell everybody you can about the program, Search the Scriptures. We also encourage you to take advantage yourself and also tell others to go to our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com, and click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. It's free. It always will be free. We want to help people get to heaven. We're not after people's wallets. And when somebody signs up for a podcasting, they will automatically receive to their smart device, whether that's their phone or computer or whatever they choose, this daily radio program, Monday through Fridays, Search the Scriptures. It'll automatically go to their smart device. But also, every day, there'll be a whole bunch more teaching that will go to their smart device. Teaching from God's Word. So tell everybody you can. And also, come check us out in person. Many of our radio program listeners have done that throughout the years, and many have stayed on with us. Come and check us out. Our church building is located at 3606 North 108th Street, 3606 North 108th Street, right here in Omaha. Bible classes begin at 9:30 on Sunday morning, followed by worship at 10:30. Sunday evening, 6 o'clock, we come back together for another period of worship and Bible study. Wednesday evenings, middle of the week, get our spiritual batteries recharged. Each Wednesday evening, 6:30, midweek Bible classes. You're welcome to any and all of these services, and we hope to see you soon. We're going to get back into our study, talking about another one of those heart problems. Problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. In this particular series, we've looked at 9 different heart problems. Now, we're not talking about physical heart problems like cardiomyopathy or, other kinds of heart disorders, that maybe heart attacks and all kinds of things like that. And there's a whole bunch of those kinds of physical disorders. But we're talking about heart problems are problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. And so a number of these have probably been rather surprising to a bunch of people, having not thought about them as being really initiated or centered in the condition of their heart spiritually. We've talked about laziness, hatred, fear, gossip, anger, worry, pride, that is ungodly pride, prejudice, selfishness. And as we conclude this series, we're talking about weak faith. And again, this is a heart problem. Why do some people have weak faith? Some people wish they could have stronger faith. Well, they need to examine their heart. Are they willing to do what needs to be done so that they can develop stronger faith and maintain strong faith? It's a matter of the heart. We're not talking, again, about that physical heart. We're talking about the heart from a spiritual perspective. What is their mindset? What is their determination? What is their focus in life? Now, we've talked about, and we've looked in depth and in detail from the Scriptures as to where faith comes from. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't land on us, through the air. It's not something that God bestows upon some people and withholds from other people. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, Romans 10 and verse 17. We need to be students of God's Word in some way. Now, somebody says, well, what about a person who's blind and cannot read? Well, there are ways that they can still hear the Word. And if nothing else, they can have somebody teach them. What about somebody who cannot read? My father was an example of that kind of an individual. He could not read. He could write his name. He might be able to make out a little bit in some kinds of, you know, documents, but virtually could not read. And so how could he know? He listened to the gospel being taught. He listened to the Bible being read. And he knew, even though he could not read the scriptures himself, he knew when error was being taught and when truth was being taught. He knew the basic information from God's Word. Well, so faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And when my father heard the truth of God's Word being taught, he was baptized into Christ, became a Christian. The next question, how important is faith in our lives? Now, each one of us really needs to make this personal. So how important is faith in your life? Faith is important almost beyond description. How important is food in your life? You said, well, you got to have food to live. What about water? You can go without food a little bit longer than you can go without water. But if you go without either one of those for very many days, we're not talking about weeks and months and years, you're going to die. Well, just as food is absolutely essential for your physical life, faith is absolutely essential for your spiritual life. Think about the numerous ways that faith is crucial to our spiritual and eternal life, to our spiritual well-being. First, we come to salvation by faith. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." When Jesus, and that's Ephesians 2 and verse 8, when Jesus told the apostles as he was ready to ascend back to heaven after his resurrection, he told them, he gave them the Great Commission marching orders, and this was not a suggestion, this was a commandment from him, and it is still our marching orders today to spread the gospel message of salvation through Jesus Christ throughout the world. He told the apostles to go into all the world, preach the gospel to all creation. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he who does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16, 15 and 16. We read further in Paul's letter to the Romans that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Coming into a state of salvation includes being sanctified. In fact, you can almost use the two terms, salvation and sanctification, synonymously. You don't get one without the other. Some people think a person gets saved and then sometimes later he gets sanctified. Not what the scriptures teach. They're hand in hand. So coming into a state of salvation includes being sanctified. What does that word mean? It means set apart. We have some animal sanctuaries in our country and around the world, don't we? Those are pieces of land that are set apart from the rest of the society around them, wherein those animals are kept in safety. When we're talking about being sanctified spiritually, we're talking about we come into a state of being separated from the world unto holiness. The world is in the darkness of sin. We are sanctified when we are saved in Christ. We are sanctified, set apart unto salvation, unto holiness. in Christ. Okay. That's important. But that also comes by faith. Listen to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me, that is in Christ. Acts 26 and verse 18. Having come to salvation, we stand by faith. Now, we're not talking about standing physically. We're talking about, but there's an illustration you can understand. How do you stand physically? Well, you stand by the strength that God has blessed you with in the muscles and joints and ligaments in your legs, right? And in your back. How do we stand spiritually? We stand by faith. The strength, the spiritual strength that God provides for us through faith as we come to faith in Him. Paul wrote, not that we have dominion over your faith, but our fellow workers for your joy, for by faith you stand. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 24. He made the same statement basically in Romans 11 and verse 20. The idea is that a Christian continues to stand firm, strong in his spiritual life by faith. He stands strong in his dedication to God and Christ by faith. Connected to standing by faith is the reality that we walk by faith. As Paul stated in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Also, we live by faith. How do we live that Christian life? Faithfully. How do we live that faithful Christian life? And faithfulness, again, remember, we've talked about this, is our faith put into action through obedience and dedication and service. So how do we live that faithful life? Jesus said, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. How do we stand strong? How do we live in faithfulness? We live faithfully by faith. Paul wrote about himself in Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. He wasn't talking about physical crucifixion. He was talking about, I've given my life to Christ. He said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, my faithful, dedicated Christian life, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, Galatians 2 and verse 20. And we endure by faith. The devil's going to throw all kinds of temptations at us. Life is going to throw all kinds of challenges at us. But we endure through all of that by faith. We don't give in to the temptations. We don't let the challenges and trials of life beat us down. We endure by faith. The Hebrews writer wrote in Hebrews 11 and verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Now who's being talked about here? Moses. But the principle applies to us. By faith we endure. We endure, knowing that God is there. What does God promise as written down for us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13? We've talked about this so many times on this program. God says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Again, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. So how did Moses endure all that he was going through, all that he would go through? in leading the Israelite people out of the bondage in Egypt and to the promised land? He endured by faith. How do we stand strong in our dedication to God? We stand by faith. How do we live our life daily? We walk by faith. As a person comes to salvation in Christ, and as he continues to walk and live and endure faithfully, he lays hold on eternal life through faith. And this is exactly how Paul encouraged Timothy. He said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you are also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 12. A faithful Christian can face physical life and all of its challenges, all of its difficulties, all of its trials, with assurance of eternal life, victorious through faith. Through faith. The Apostle John wrote, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." 1 John 5 in verse 4. How important is faith? It's all important. How important is food for the sustenance and well-being of your physical body? It's all important. How important is faith to your spiritual strength and well-being and ultimate eternal destiny? It's all important. Faith. Faith in our lives. So important that we need to give all diligence to develop and maintain strong, solid faith. Notice what the Apostle Peter wrote by way of admonition along this line. He said, also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. And then he begins to list out a host of Christian characteristics that develop through faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 7. Oh, how important is faith? We cannot overemphasize the importance of faith in our personal lives. And again, it's a matter of the heart. Do you really want to have strong faith? You have to make up your mind. It is a matter of your heart. You have to put yourself to the task or to the discipline to develop that strong faith. Be in God's Word. Be a diligent student of God's Word. Read, listen, pray for God's guidance through His Word. And live by those teachings. Live by your faith. Your faith needs to be not just a part of your life. Your faith needs to be your life. Now, let's focus upon the dangers of weak faith. The dangers of weak faith. With faith being so important, we need to remain focused on developing strong, abiding faith. But what if our faith is weak? And a whole lot of people would admit openly, my faith is weak. What can I do to get strong faith? We'll talk about that in a little bit later. But what if our faith is weak? What are the potential dangers of living with weak faith? God's Word is filled with examples of people who stumbled, in some cases, to their destruction because of weak faith. When Peter is walking in the water in the midst of the storm, when Jesus told him, come, Peter said, Lord, if it is you, Jesus was walking across the water to the apostles in a boat. He said, "Bid me come." Jesus said, "Come." And as long as he was walking on the surface of that water, focused on Christ, he was safe. But when he became distracted by the storm all around him, he sank down into the water. And note Jesus' reaction. Why he sank into the water? Immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" Matthew 14 and verse 31. Well, as long as Peter kept focused on his Lord, he was okay, he was safe. But when he doubted, when he got distracted by the storm, he sunk down into the water. On three other occasions, we find Jesus using the same rebuke, "O you of little faith," once pertaining to the necessities of life, Matthew 6 and verse 30. Once in relation to impending danger, Matthew 8 and verse 26. And once in response to a failure to understand the point of his teaching, Matthew 16 and verse 8. As long as we keep our focus on the Lord, he will see us through whatever this life and whatever the devil might throw at us. But if we become distracted by the challenges and storms of life around us, or by the temptations of our enemy, the devil, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8, to the point that our faith weakens significantly, then we can quickly find ourselves sinking into the depths and despair of sin. Now, of course, the most fundamental danger of weak faith is eternal condemnation for our soul. Again, faith is essential to our salvation. It is essential to our sanctification. It is essential to our spiritual strength. And therefore, we need to be able to successfully face all of life's challenges and ultimately our lifelong enemy, the devil, and be able to look forward to eternal victory, a home in heaven, eternal life. Faith is the key. Without giving our faith diligent attention, it will stagnate or weaken at best and die out altogether at worst. We cannot allow that to happen without putting our soul in peril. We'll look a little further next time. Let's pray. Father, help us to have strong faith. Help us to put ourselves to the discipline of developing and maintaining strong faith. Guide us, help us to be diligent students of your word, and help us to understand those teachings correctly and make the proper applications to our lives. Thank you, Father. Please be merciful with us. Please, Father, and patient, please forgive us, gracious Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.